Welcome to Coming Together, Interrelationships of Evolutionary Astrology Teachings. This is Bradley Narragon. This is episode 2, and today is pretty exciting because for a couple reasons. One, going to talk about Pluto in Aquarius, and two, I'm very excited because I have my good friend here, Alice Prejean, and we're just going to have a casual conversation. We've both been pretty excited about Pluto going into Aquarius. I know a lot of people have for a long time. And yeah, so there. This is a big topic, and there is, we're just going to kind of do this organically, very free form, and see where this goes. We do have a lot we have talked about for hours already today, so we don't really know what's going to happen here. Did you just let me know when you want to chime in? So Pluto going into Aquarius, we both have had our foundation in evolutionary astrology. So obviously, you don't have to be an evolutionary astrologer to listen to this, but you might be interested in evolutionary astrology if you're listening today, because that is what this podcast is about. And Pluto is kind of basically this where we start in evolutionary astrology. When we put Pluto in the birth chart, we're talking about what is the soul's desire? Why has the soul incarnated? What does it want to do? Why are you here? We get pretty excited about knowing what our soul's here to do. So we're talking about Pluto at a collective level. It's pretty interesting because there's a lot of different layers and concepts to this. So on one hand, there's going to be, what does that mean for you as an individual that Pluto is going into Aquarius? And that's going to be relative, of course, to your own birth chart, also to your own Pluto generation, and a lot of other factors. And then there's this question of, what does this mean collectively for the evolution of the collective that Pluto's going into Aquarius? So we're going to talk about collective level. We're going to talk about individual level. We're going to weave them together, because are they really separate? In some ways, yes. Some ways, no, right? So, yeah. That is the start of this. The question is, this is always good to start with, when is this happening? The dates of when Pluto is in Aquarius. So we've got, this is interesting because it's right after the spring equinox this year, March 23rd, we've got Pluto going into Aquarius for the first time in a long time. In, was it 248 years is the Pluto cycle, so that's a long time. So it goes in March 23rd, and then, you know, it kind of peeks its toes in, it goes, it stops, it goes retrograde, and then we're back into Capricorn on June 11th, and then it's going to go back in January 21st, 2024. That's exciting, which happened to be the Aquarius new moon this year. And that's, this might be one thing that we get into a little bit, is there's kind of been a series of events that have tied into this Pluto going into Aquarius. And are we even in the age of Aquarius, or what does it mean that the Great Conjunction was in Aquarius and that Saturn's been in Aquarius? What does it mean that Pluto's been in Capricorn leading up to this time, right? So we still have Pluto is going to go back into Capricorn one more time, September 1st, 2024. And then the final entry to stay in Aquarius is going to be November the 19th of 2024. And then, like, we're in it. We're in it for two decades, basically, because Pluto's not going to enter Pisces until March of 2043. So one of the things that astrologers look at often with this ingress, the moment that Pluto goes into Aquarius, is the symbolism. It's kind of like, it's this whole idea of like, you come out of the womb and you take your first breath, and that moment in time is a symbol. It's the universe is holographic, and the entire outer universe alignment around where you were born reveals your whole life in some capacity. It reveals the whole trajectory of your soul and a lot of the unfolding of timing, et cetera, et cetera. So the moment that Pluto goes into Aquarius, sometimes we call this a seed point, the ingress event. So we're expecting there's going to be something that's going to happen, something symbolic. And it may be that we're too steeped in the now to even see some of what is already happening and what could happen when Pluto enters Aquarius. Some of this stuff is so big and so deep that we may be not even realizing till we look back in a decade or two and be like, okay, that was what was happening. So we don't know, but we're going to be looking this March and April and May and June for seed events collectively and individually to pay attention to. It's going to herald, it's going to foreshadow perhaps what we can expect a little bit. But there are a lot of themes, and there are a lot of potentials, and we're all going to have a different relationship to this experience. Alise, did you have anything at this point that you wanted to share?
Sure. Yeah, so I love the way that you're describing the seed point, because it is important really looking at that whenever a planet is moving into a sign, particularly an outer planet, where the way that I see outer planets moving through the chart, moving through the sky, so individually and collectively, is that they move really slowly and they're making foundational changes to the psychological development. And so when you have a planet like Pluto moving into a new sign, this, as it moves into that sign, there's literally this seed that's already imprinted with its potentials. Just like when you're born, all the planets were in a specific area of the sky, and we could see that as having relationships to each other. And then, of course, within our own psyche. And so there's this imprint psychologically. And so as Pluto moves into Aquarius, and we know it's going to be there for 20 years, you know, it is Pluto, so it's going to be making fundamental changes to our own relationship to Aquarian energy or Aquarian consciousness, and individually and collectively. But also, it's when it goes into Aquarius, all the planets will be in a specific area of the sky as well. And so there'll be relationships of these different functions of consciousness that are happening there. Because I always think of the planets as functions of consciousness, just like we have organs, different organs in the body. And there's they have a particular function in which we utilize those of the movement of consciousness and the development of consciousness, the exploration of our consciousness, right? So with Pluto, you know, when it moves into Aquarius, you know, there will be a seed point that contains the potentials, and it naturally has everything within it that is supporting the function of that planet moving into that sign for us individually and collectively. And, you know, one of the things that I think is interesting is that Pluto going into Aquarius, we've been experiencing it in Capricorn, a Saturn-ruled sign, which is yin. So this has been making fundamental changes internally in our structure of consciousness. But then as it moves into the Saturn-ruled sign Aquarius, it's really going into this yang function of Saturn, where, yes, like you were saying, it could be really bringing in things in the outer world that will be providing opportunities for transformations on the inner world, or the yin part of our consciousness, which is also the natural square, right, to the fixed grand cross of Taurus and Scorpio, right? But it could be through some of the outer experiences in consciousness that are really promoting the deep psychological changes that are happening in regards to our relationship to Aquarian consciousness, individually and collectively. So, and fascinating too, right, that, you know, Pluto's gonna dip in, it's gonna, you know, retrograde back. And I always think of that function, the way that Pluto does that is we're fortunate to have that because we get time to integrate this very big shift that's beginning when Pluto begins to ingress into Aquarius. So we get to go back and really recover anything that would be supportive, and then, you know, having this Plutonian function in the Aquarian consciousness, right? And so those time frames between March 23rd of 2023 all the way through, you know, November 19th, 2024, it, you know, it's an interesting piece. Like, that's a pretty big amount of time for that kind of really wrapping up what we've been doing internally as Pluto's been in Capricorn since 2008, and then how that's been informing our next level development with Pluto entering into Aquarius. And you know, another piece that I think is really interesting just in my initial considerations of the seed point is that, you know, at the seed point, we have the nodes of the moon in Taurus and Scorpio. And that's quite beneficial because it is the, you know, I always think of the the fixed grand cross, but also just these cross quarters of the different modalities or I'm losing the word now. You know, we've got the mutable grand cross, we've got the cardinal grand cross, we've got the fixed grand cross. And both of those have the yin forms or yin archetypes. And then you've got the yang archetypes. So you've got this yin axis of consciousness supporting the yang axis of consciousness. And so I find it fascinating that the nodes of the moon are in the yin part of the fixed grand cross, while Pluto, being the ruler of the south node of the moon in Scorpio at the moment, right? That's moving into Aquarius, into that yang part of the fixed grand cross. And so I see it also as this support, the supportive element, and really looking at, you know, how we're internally experiencing emotionally this transform or this change in this outer planet shifting into the yang sign and fixed grand cross of our own psychological development, right? So, yeah.
That is, yeah, I feel like we could do a whole talk just looking at the ingress chart alone, which we don't have here. We're not focusing on just the ingress chart. And maybe we'll circle back and do that. But we've been talking a lot about what does it mean that the nodes are in Taurus Scorpio when it starts? What is it going to mean when they go into Libra Aries? And another piece of this that we've been talking about quite a bit is, so we've got in Aquarius, the sign of Aquarius, we've got co-rulers of Saturn and Uranus. So one of the things that we're thinking about and looking at is where are Saturn and Uranus going to be transiting during this time that Pluto's in Aquarius, and how is that going to inform this evolutionary impulse and intention? That's one piece with this. As evolutionary astrologers, we always, not all evolutionary astrologers use the Pluto polarity point, but we are of the kind that do. And we see that the point, there's nothing there, but if you the concept in this evolutionary astrology is that everything does indeed evolve through polarity or opposite, and that you can do this with any planet in your chart. If you have Venus in Pisces, your Venus in Pisces would evolve through the Virgo polarity by house. What does that mean for you? We've got Pluto in Aquarius for the whole planet for 2 decades. So then there's the evolutionary intention to evolve through the archetype of Aquarius, but also that it for the evolution to occur in a integrated, healthy way, for lack of better words, we were also going to look at the integration of the polarity of Leo into this. And this is what, Alise, you were talking about the fixed cross. So just the fact that the polarity to Pluto is Leo, we kind of have that whole thing activated. And there is a moment where Mars reaches its opposition to Pluto, and we have this very striking fixed cross coming up in the spring. Talking about Pluto and Capricorn, we've been talking a lot about what does it mean that Pluto has been in Capricorn leading up to this? What was the intention of Pluto and Capricorn? Have we succeeded to, you know, do the work of Pluto and Capricorn? And one of the things I've been saying is the stage has been set. So there are certain conditions that have been evolving all over the world, in different cultures, in different countries, in different ways, that have led up to these very unique conditions at this onset of Pluto going into Aquarius. So, and I'm definitely of the camp of that, you know, like there's always a full spectrum of manifestation. So the question of, have we done the work with Pluto and Capricorn? Well, it's, yeah, we can look around and point out to be like, well, that clearly isn't a healthy intention of Pluto and Capricorn, and this is an example of the evolution of Pluto and Capricorn. And of course, Pluto and Capricorn evolution would also include the Cancer polarity. So just like earlier we were talking about the schools and standardized testing, and that we've seen this with Pluto and Capricorn, this progressive standardization. You know, you look at China and you've got a social credit score. You've got these things that have been institutionalized that are very, they're so Capricorn that, you know, like one size doesn't fit all. And Aquarius is going to remind us all of that for sure. So if we haven't evolved the Pluto and Capricorn in a way that included the Cancer polarity with nurturing and care and humanity and empathy, you know, those things are kind of going to maybe blow up a little bit when Pluto goes into Aquarius. That's my opinion on it. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. What inspires me to think about in regards to that is, you know, that the Cancer Capricorn axis of consciousness is the cultivation, as you said, of empathy and also emotional security. And so, you know, with Pluto moving through Capricorn for so long, this has really been exposing, you know, where is it individually or collectively? How is it that we're actually cultivating emotional security and sustaining our emotional security? And with Pluto, the thing about Pluto is that it's always going to expose where it is that one feels disempowered in regards to the themes of the archetype it's in, or the sign that it's in, or the axis of consciousness that it's traversing, right? And where it is that we are really harnessing our power. And so Pluto is always going to be, I mean, what I see with Pluto is this is the part of our consciousness that desires for us to embody our empowerment, which is really about the full embrace of our own soul. And so Pluto, by transit, is going to expose where it is that we have maybe some I want to say fixed energies because Pluto is the planetary guide of Scorpio, or some would say the ruler of Scorpio. And this is the part of our fixed, unconscious default settings in regards to our own perceptions of survival and thrival. And so, you know, once we figure out what works for us, you know, we survive, or we consider ourselves thriving in some way, we put that in our automatic settings so that then we can expand out. And we don't have to think about, how do I survive this environment? How do I survive that environment? I mean, that's kind of just already running in the background, right? And so what Pluto does, though, is that as it moves through different axes of consciousness throughout the sky, throughout our charts individually, then, of course, you know, as that extends out collectively, it's exposing where it is that we may have some updating. I almost hesitate to say updating because I always think of updating as Uranus. But Pluto is going to expose where it is that we're aligning with our true power, or where it is that we may be harboring unconsciously fear in regards to our primal instincts to survive and thrive, because it is our survival instinct to not only survive, but also to thrive. And what does that mean to us? And when we are in alignment with our personal value and our own soul, we are in alignment with really encountering any scenario with true empowerment. And Pluto will expose where it is we're not in alignment with that, which can mean, oh, where is it that I experience fear? You know, why am I experiencing this fear? And then where is it that I'm potentially manipulating in a unproductive way, things in the outside world in order to attain, in this case with Capricorn and Cancer, emotional security. Whereas, you know, what I see with the Cancer Capricorn axes of consciousness is this is about really emotional security, no matter what circumstances you find yourself in, what environment you find yourself in, because you're totally plugged in to your own security internally, yin, right? And Pluto, it's like you're plugged into your soul internally in Capricorn, emotionally, right? So, you know, with the Pluto moving through Capricorn since 2008, it's, you know, likely been bringing us experiences exactly according to what is going to be most beneficial in our own cultivation and development of emotional security, to really give us the opportunity to see just where we're at in our own emotional security, making sure that if we have been doing the work, we are taking responsibility for our own emotional security, no matter what circumstances we're finding ourselves in. And so Pluto can be known, as we know, to bring in, you know, sometimes challenging or intense experiences. But that in this case has been to, you know, okay, where am I taking responsibility for my own emotional security in any given situation? And, you know, we know that Cancer Capricorn, this, you know, cardinal grand cross, then is in that yin Capricorn Cancer, then it's activating that yang cardinal modality of the Aries and Libra. And so this can be, you know, of course, then putting the pressure from Pluto as a square, and all these grand crosses actually between the archetypes, or you could call it, you know, the signs, are really, you know, that square in opposition can be seen as either an internal pressure or pressure through opposition, or what we could see as, you know, quote unquote, you know, a conflict. But that it's through those experiences and those challenging energies that we actually really get to harness that energy into momentum of what can be cultivated within that particular grand cross within our own psyches, right? So with Pluto through Capricorn, this has been, well, you know, how are you relating to whatever you're experiencing in the outside world? And then how does that then inform you of how you're relating to yourself, Aries, right? And your own identity, you know? And so we've been getting that with that Pluto moving through Capricorn. And a lot of that has been then, of course, bringing up the Capricorn keywords, which would be self-responsibility and commitment, as well as parameters and boundaries. And I always think of Cancer and Capricorn as, okay, we're going to set parameters by which we can funnel our consciousness towards what our goal is. And goal is a key word of Capricorn as well. You know, it's funneling consciousness in an effective way. So this is why it's associated with boundaries. So it's really about, you know, being very intentional with where we're funneling our consciousness. And this is also then, you know, how it relates and correlates to Capricorn being described as the structure of consciousness, the structure in which we structure our lives, our own reality, our personal reality. And, you know, we do that first and foremost internally, yin, but then we could see that also naturally expressed through our own home and the security, the sanctuary, the safe place that we actually cultivate, you know, where we're funneling consciousness that creates these safe parameters by which we can relax and then go out into the world, right, from that secure place. And so this sense of security that we create these parameters, we create this home that we live in or some kind of a parameter by which to cultivate this sense of safety and security and where we can have commitment to our own caring for ourselves, caring for those around us, this Cancer piece, you know. And what are some other keywords? You know, I mean, the thing about Capricorn is that Pluto moving through there is also going to be exposing where it is. We're not taking responsibility for those things, funneling consciousness in the direction that is going to be most in alignment with our own personal, and I think in this case would be Pluto, desire to funnel consciousness in a specific way. We're not, you know, this is where we're eliminating distractions, by the way, you know, and we're creating the boundaries with the distractions that are not going to be contributing to the direction by which we want to funnel consciousness, right? But with, you know, this piece is also that where it is we're not taking responsibility, this can be the shadow side of Pluto and Capricorn, where we scapegoat other people. We make other people responsible for our own security. We, you know, could guilt trip other people, blame, shame, guilt game. And that's definitely very much the Capricorn shadow, where because the Capricorn consciousness is meant to support our own taking responsibility for our own personal reality. And the more that we are responsible for that reality internally, that's where we're going to experience the power of Pluto and Capricorn, because we've actually harnessed our own power. We're not leaking our power by putting responsibility where it doesn't really actually belong on a certain level. Because, you know, I mean, the thing is, Pluto through Capricorn, we could have been seeing, oh, you know, we're leaking our power because we need other people to feel the same that we do, or to, you know, be a certain way, or to have this identity that we want them to have, or they want us to have, or, you know, and this is the Aries Libra part of that cardinal grand cross. And so as we can get into alignment with our personal responsibility to ourselves, and how, you know, Aries is ruled by Mars, guided by Mars, our instinct to act on our own behalf and our own identity, where we really take ownership of that, then we're, you know, really harnessing the power, because Mars is always going to act on behalf of the unconscious, because it's instinctual, and it's going to act on behalf of Pluto, right? But then, you know, how that relates to then this Yang form of Venus as a ruler of Libra. And so we could have been getting these experiences where we get to see, like, oh, where is it that I'm actually blaming someone else, or blaming, you know, shaming something else, or that's a place where I could be leaking my power. Because as I actually internalize the self-responsibility to move in the directions that are appropriate for me, creating the boundaries that are in alignment with what it is that I desire and how I decide I'd like to experience reality, experience the earth plane, Capricorn, being an earth sign, that's really harnessing the empowerment there with that Pluto in Capricorn. And so, you know, as you talked about, Bradley, when Pluto moves into Aquarius, you know, as we've done that work of looking at where is it I may have been leaking my power, where I'm expecting another person to be responsible for what is really my responsibility, to move in the directions that are in alignment with that, and move away from directions that, or relationships that are not in alignment from that, Aries, Libra, Cancer, Capricorn, right? You know, if we've been doing that work, we're going to experience, I think, the Pluto in Aquarius as a certain level where we can liberate our consciousness into, you know, the vast territory of the potential of ideas, thoughts, innovations and discoveries, and, you know, this brilliance, personal brilliance that can naturally happen because we've done the work of Pluto and Capricorn on an individual level, how that translates into the collective level as well, where we can actually, we have the foundations, right, in order to support the expansion of ideas and the self-actualization that can come through Pluto moving into Aquarius, and the power in that, because it opposes this Leonian component in our psyches of Leo, the creative self-actualization, which is actually fueled by ideas, because when we first get an idea and then we create it, you know, right? So like, as we've done the work with Pluto and Capricorn, as we've noticed any areas that we may have been leaking our power, not taking self-responsibility, and then realigned ourselves with that responsibility, we've actually created the foundations for all of the positive things that can come through Pluto in Aquarius, where we can feel more liberated. We can feel more like we have this harnessing, this capacity to really harness our creative potential and the power within that. Right? And then that expression, that natural expression through that Yang energy, fixed grand cross. And remembering that, you know, Capricorn, Cancer, Aries, Libra, this is cardinal, which means initiating. It is seeding something new. So we've been doing that. And then, you know, we're going to go into fixed. So there's likely some rewiring of the ways in which we, you know, that can support, again, this new initiation that's going on.
That you bring up a lot of really good points on Pluto and Capricorn and emotional security and what has led up to this time. And a few things popped in my head with that. One of them is, well, one, a, talking about scapegoating and blaming and shaming and guilt and judgment, these are, you know, negative traits of Capricorn, and not taking individual responsibility for one's own emotional security. I think this is the harder, deeper work of Pluto and Capricorn, because we can look around us and see a lot of reasons why we no longer maybe feel safe in this world or in the society or culture that we live in. There's just, you know, it's evolving and changing, and we hear, you know, depending on how much you pay attention to news and events and what's happening in the world, you know, it's no one but yourself is going to be able to cultivate a sense of inner emotional security for you. And that's the hard work with Pluto and Capricorn. It's almost as if a certain level of the harshness of the world as it has evolved into the structures it has is kind of pushing us to evolve that Cancer polarity. I think that we can look into the world too and see a lot of situations where we can see individuals who have done great work, who have been championing a cause of bringing in more human-centric emotional wisdom into these rigid systems and structures of culture and society and work. So when you see that emotional wisdom has gotten woven back in and acknowledged as a key piece, to me, this is like we've been doing some of that Cancer polarity. It's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag on the external reflection, but like Alisa is saying, it kind of comes back ultimately to what are we doing for ourselves? Like, what have we done to become accountable to ourselves, to be able to source emotional security from within? And the Cancer Capricorn polarity is not really an easy axis. It's because it's so foundational and so deep. I know Jeffrey Wolf Green would say when Pluto transits someone's fourth house, that's one of the hardest houses for Pluto to be in. And we were talking about we're evolving something so core and so foundational, the egocentric structure and identity of who you are is being broken down and having to be put back together and evolve in a new way. And so similarly, we haven't gotten to Pluto and Aquarius. We're touching on it a little bit, but we have the whole Cancer Capricorn fourth, 10th house axes, as in like home, career in a traditional sense. Often fourth house is mother, 10th house is father, society. We have in this axes the conditioned and traditional gender roles and gender assignments. And so one thing that we have had with Pluto and Capricorn since 2008 is this an acceleration of this breakdown and evolution of gender roles in society. And we've seen this, I feel like we've seen it a lot all over the place, and it's happening for people internally within themselves. They're questioning, why do I identify with these roles that I was taught to, you know, like this is what it means that I'm male and I was born in a male's body, so I'm supposed to be a certain way, or vice versa. So we have had a lot of people all over within themselves questioning, breaking down, and Pluto's literally death and rebirth. So we've been seeing this death and rebirth of actual traditional gender role and assignments in our culture. And, you know, Capricorn, of course, is also can correlate with consensus as Saturn, Capricorn, consensus, conditions, conformity. And so there's always going to be Plutonian resistance on some level to when the evolution's getting pushed, and then there's resistance. Like, okay, now you've gone too far. And I think that we've seen this come up a lot, especially in a lot of the gender conversations that are going on. It's evolved so much in this period where Pluto's in Capricorn that a lot of people have been pushed beyond what their, if they adhere to a very traditional consensus cultural value system, they're no longer able to compute, you know, what they're hearing and what people are telling them. So that's another thing that's been going on with Pluto and Capricorn. That's a pretty interesting phenomena. It's, and this is very foundational groundwork to the evolution of ego and identity and what does it mean to have emotional security. And so this stuff is coming before, and it's interesting because to me, I feel like Pluto in Aquarius is a bit of a game changer. It's such a dramatic shift in some ways. Although, Alisa, you've been reminding me that, you know, Capricorn and Aquarius are both ruled by Saturn. So we have a Saturnian element to Aquarius as well. And one of the ideas, but Aquarius is pretty radical. I mean, it's the rebel of the zodiac. It's kind of like, let's take the box and turn it on its side or throw it out the window, and let's give you a completely different perspective on how to view life right now. So, you know, like, what kind of like expect the unexpected, perhaps, like what's going to happen next when Pluto goes into Aquarius. You know, like, we don't know. We have a whole bunch of themes written down and possibilities. But I did want to make one point before we continue on some of that, which is I was looking back over the Pluto in Aquarius, or the 11th house chapter in my Pluto book. And one of the things that I was reminded about is in that book, Jeffrey Wolf Green talks about there's three responses collectively, so to speak, or individuals kind of fall into three camps of how they respond to, if you have a Pluto in the 11th house in your natal chart, for example, and in this case, we're applying it collectively to Pluto in Aquarius. So this idea that there's going to be three larger collective responses. And so the idea is that one response is very Saturnian. One response is kind of a blend of Uranus and Saturn. And then the other response is a whole hog Uranus. So basically what we're looking at is, as far as the very Uranian types who are ready for some change in the world, they are going to be really fired up to make change and make change fast and ready for, you know, change couldn't come fast enough. Like in that term, like they're just, you know, let's evolve, let's shift, let's, you know, like, is the old paradigm destroyed yet? Like, let's rebuild the new one. Let's decentralize. Like, who knows, you know? But it's this acceleration. And that's another thing that relative to when we go from Capricorn to Aquarius, there's this increased vibrational frequency. Whereas Capricorn in a sense is like, look at this beautiful glass, and in Aquarius, suddenly you have a high pitched frequency and it shatters out of nowhere or it goes flying. And so a lot of times Aquarius is unstable energetically, where Capricorn is more this container and ties into that Cancer polarity with security and containment. And in Aquarius, where is the container, so to speak? But it is still ruled by Saturn. And so in the purely Uranian response to this Pluto in Aquarius, this is where you could have individuals who are willing to be secure enough in however strange, eccentric, different they are, different than they find themselves to be from what's going on around them, to be completely, you know, one person, that they don't have a group. And this ties into the Saturnian aspect of Aquarius, because Pluto correlates to this deeper compulsions that we have. So we've got, in the Saturn-Uranus response, we have a group of people who want social change, but then there is Saturnian there's a sense of security to belong to a group of like-minded people. They're not so radical that they're going to be completely outside of society and secure enough to be different than everyone in their social sphere. They need some kind of social sphere that's mirroring back to them that, yeah, we're on the same page with you. We need this change. But then there's a group mentality that emerges there. And then if you go back to the kind of purely Saturn response to this Pluto Aquarius phenomena, we're talking about people who, in a way, may also be looking for a group of like-minded people. However, they're not interested in the real acceleration of change. And one of the things that Jeff would say is that these are the social dinosaurs. And I was just joking with Alise that I was like, are we going to become the social dinosaurs? Because I mean, on some levels, I'm super excited for Pluto and Aquarius and I want change. And we see, I see a lot of what's happening in reality that's changing in this electronic age, the digitalization, the technology, you know. So when Pluto is in Capricorn, we have this whole breakdown and re-evolution of gender. Well, when Pluto goes into Aquarius, we may find that what was normal and natural for the body is kind of going to be, that's going to just be blown wide open. Like we really don't know what to expect and how far humans will go from existing in the form that they maybe naturally are born in. This could be like body altering, gene altering, body technology merging. There's just a lot of different branches of where this could go. And so I was just kind of joking because I was like what if like become social dinosaurs because we're like, hey, you know, like back to the land, back to the earth, back to the old ways. That's the concept. But on a, you know, on a more, this isn't more serious note, but I mean, on another note, this could be, I mean, yes, you could say this could be like people who want revolution. And then there's people who are like, you know, like the old ways are fine. How we did things 100 years ago, that was fine. You know, let's go back to patriarchy and these like gender roles and conditions, or, you know, it could be a lot of things. Basically, it's not just like the Saturnian response is one way, but it's a concept that we will see. And that the other thing is that all of these things naturally exist. All of them have a natural role or function in the evolution of the collective. And so in a way, the Saturnian energy will balance out and slow down the acceleration of the Uranian side to the point where maybe there, even though there could be potentially conflict and tension between the Saturnian and the Uranian response to Pluto and Aquarius, it may be a healthy potential there too, because too much change too fast. I mean, we've already seen a great acceleration of change with technology in our environment, with products that we're making, things that we're using. We don't even know the end result. We don't know the end game of what we're even using and what we're doing right now. We're doing things and we don't know the impact in 7 generations, in 100 years. And so we've already seen an acceleration. So in some regards, while maybe we could look and maybe, you know, some people will portray the Saturnian social dinosaurs as the villains and the bad guys. Also, I'm just throwing it out there to keep in mind, thinking outside the box, that there is possibly a function not to accelerate too fast into the future with Pluto and Aquarius, because I think that, I mean, and I hope that we've developed enough emotional security within ourselves, because it is going to accelerate, things are going to accelerate change And there could be a lot of shifting. And so hopefully we have that strong core foundation that we're going into this with, and not to be like, if you didn't, oh no, what if I didn't, like that, you know, like it starts in any moment, any day, of course, to recenter and reground with that. So I'm kind of at the end of that thought, Alise.
Well, you've spurred a lot of thoughts for me, so I would love to respond to that, because one of the things about this relationship between the function of Saturn and the function of Uranus is really important, I think, in considering the rebelliousness that we can experience with Aquarius. And the reason I say that, and it really ties back into our experience of Pluto moving through Capricorn, and also, you know, our own personal experience of Capricorn consciousness in general, because Capricorn is the axis of consciousness that has to do with our family line. Sometimes people correlate it to our familial karma. And really, I think that it's just seeing that, you know, we all had primary caregivers, that we were able to then, through those primary caregivers, from the development of infancy all the way up to our first Saturn return, for example, where we actually, you know, have matured through the Saturn's movement through the sky since we were born, and then it returning to where it was when we were born. This is the maturation cycle where we've experienced enough from our teachers, which would be a Saturnian component, and we could see our teachers being our primary caregivers, how we learned how to survive, right? How we actually developed a structure of consciousness that we could be contained in. And yet through that, and we all know likely, most people have heard of the Saturn return, right? And we get to experience in that Saturn return, okay, how we've taken on these specific structures of reality from our experience of, you know, growing and developing with our primary caregivers. And then what structures of those have felt like it's produced results that we do not desire? And what results of those have been in support of that which we do desire to continue to seed? And so someone would say, you know, at the Saturn return, then you're actually seeding a new cycle of, okay, what would you like to actually cultivate on the Earth plane? Capricorn, Saturn, Earth sign, right? To actually contribute a specific reality, you know, your personal reality, but then how that contributes to society, and also produces specific results. And we know that with Capricorn, it's about funneling our consciousness towards a goal. And so this is where, you know, we have to have those parameters or these structures to support that which we desire to embody on the Earth plane, right? So with this function of Saturn, it's very, it's important. And yet when we, in these last handful of years that we've experienced Pluto through Capricorn, we had Saturn there, we had Jupiter there. And this was an important piece because there was this completing of chapters. And as they were passing over, it was Pluto's south node, Saturn and Jupiter's, am I remembering that correctly? Yeah. Pluto, Saturn, and Jupiter's south node. It's kind of been out of my mind for a little bit. But, and that was an important piece because there was like this collective, but also the way I saw it was like also a real closing of chapters of this Capricorn consciousness in potentially even through our own ancestral lineage and our own family line and all the ways in which, and we know Capricorn with Capricorn, this can be tradition as well. Inherited traditions from society, from our family lines, from, and, you know, this way in which we've actually structured our consciousness or structured our reality, structured our homes, you know, whatever it is. And as you mentioned too, Bradley, like our career or how we're personally contributing in the world. And I bring this to the conversation because, you know, I've been finding how it fascinates me how Saturn, it is a structure of consciousness. Pluto's been moving over in there and then exposing where it is. Is this empowering me? Is this disempowering me? Right? And we know that as we move through society, there are these Saturnian experiences that we all have in some way or another. Maybe it's through other people, maybe it's through institutions, maybe it's through careers, or where we might feel inhibited by other structures of consciousness. Maybe, as I said, that's other people. Maybe it's been our primary caregivers. Maybe it's been our, you know, family line or our family or traditions or, you know, institutions, but that it actually doesn't align with us personally and our integrity, right? To be integrity with oneself and one's own identity. And remembering that Capricorn squares Aries and Libra. So with Pluto going through there, are we in integrity with our own identity? And as you were talking about this, you know, focus on even gender roles and how we identify with our gender or we don't identify with our gender that we were born into. Or, you know, there's been a lot of kind of bubbling up from consciousness, which is a Plutonian phrase, you know, things that just bubble up from in the internal dimension are what it may have been buried underneath the surface of things that is actually bringing up, you know, where people have been feeling in some way that their exploration of consciousness is, and their structure of consciousness as it relates to their identity has them relating in a different way to the genders in whatever way they find themselves in, right? And so that's been actually leading the way for what can come up with Pluto in Aquarius. So it can have been a lead up where people are, in order for them to be in integrity with themselves and the way in which they relate to themselves, they have a different relationship with gender. And maybe it's the opposite gender, or maybe it's their own gender, or maybe it's, you know, whatever it is that's been coming up. Now, what's interesting about all of that is this important point, I find important anyway, is this real call to being in alignment with our personal integrity, therefore our identity. Now, when you bring Saturn in the picture, it's an interesting piece in regards to that, and then how it will lead up into Aquarius, because Saturn and Uranus have this really interesting relationship, as the fact that Saturn rules two signs, a yin sign and a yang sign, Capricorn and Aquarius, but then you've got Uranus as this very, you know, eccentric aspect of Aquarius. It brings in that rebelliousness, right? That very unexpected element that Aquarius has that differentiates itself from Capricorn themes, even though it's ruled by, you know, Saturn as well. And what I've been thinking about this Pluto moving through Aquarius is that there will be some people that are in those three categories. We'll all probably fall and maybe fall into all three categories as well, depending on what we're looking at, right?
where we might find ourselves being more Saturnian. We might find ourselves being a little bit of Saturnian and Uranian, and we might find ourselves in some aspects of life being completely Uranian. One of the things I find really interesting about that is that I found that the need for rebellion and that really just, you know, when you were talking about Capricorn and Aquarius, like this, I got this vision in my head of this kid, you know, this child that's playing with blocks and it's creating this like whole tower of blocks, you know, and like it's just beautiful and it's like very like stable and it's like well thought out. And then some other kid comes by and just totally smashes the whole thing down, you know, all unexpected, like you're like, you know, and that can be sometimes what it feels like with Uranus, because it can bring this unexpected thing that, you know, has us have to reintegrate in new ways and restructure in new ways. And I do think that one of the things that we could keep in mind when we experience Pluto through Aquarius is that recognizing that I've thought about it, you know, being a mother and having a child and, you know, as a parent, any of us that are parents, we likely have had people tell us, wait till they're teenagers, like, you know, you just wait. It's going to be like, you know, don't worry, they'll come back, you know, like, however, it was said that, you know, there can be this rebelliousness with teenagers and it's, you know, in order to individuate, and individuation is an Aquarian theme. And, you know, remembering that in the development of consciousness, when we've reached the Leonian aspect of our being, we've realized that we are separate entities than our mother and our father or our primary caregivers. We actually have our own light to shine. Like we have our own contribution of light in the world. We have our own ideas. We have our own creative expression that's very unique to our own family and those that are within our family. And so when we look at that aspect of this Aquarian and Leonian theme, it's going to be an important piece in how Saturn and Uranus functions. Because one of the things that I've found in being a mother and recognizing that, yes, there's a certain level of structure that is helpful. But when there's too much structure, and this would be not only on any child you have, but also on any being, anywhere. There are, in order to creatively self-actualize one's personal evolutionary purpose, remembering that Aquarius, Leo, squares, Scorpio, and Taurus, we all have our own evolutionary purpose, Scorpio. Yin, it's internal, it's seated within, right? And we must self-actualize that. And we're going to have this Plutonian consciousness within us that is, you know, really running the show in regards to that. And so when we have too much restriction, this is where depression and compression comes in. Saturnian, these are Saturnian words, depression, compression, repression, suppression, right? Where energy is, what's that?
Oppression.
Oppression, exactly. And this is where energy is internalized. Consciousness is internalized. So much so that it builds momentum within. But we know that consciousness does eventually have to move in another direction. It's naturally going to. This can be the pressure cooker, right? It's like eventually it's going to spill out, right? And so this is the Uranian component and what the way I see it as this natural function in consciousness that when we have actually completed the cycle that's healthy, for us, if we experience restriction in a way that becomes unhealthy, even if it's self-imposed, there's this Uranian component of our consciousness that actually, you know, brings experiences in or people in, situations in, circumstances in, energy in, that actually has to liberate us, liberate that energy, move the energy, and can be this rebellious need. So as much as we've been actually repressed, oppressed, compressed, you know, this is where then we gotta like rebel, you know, rebel to just rebel, you know, as this Uranian component can be. And so if we witness people that are really experiencing that aspect of the Aquarian consciousness where they are really feeling that instinct to rebel, that in some ways this is a natural expression of the energy for them, because of the, and it's very much directly correlated to the amount of pressure and the amount of compression that has, and depression or repression, oppression, that has been, you know, somewhat locked inside or restricted, that must be expressed in order for their health and vitality. And so this is why it can be so important to allow people to be who they are, allow people to be the identity that they relate to, and respect that on a certain level and in whatever way is integral to each and individual, you know. But you know, allowing people to naturally unfold, because it's already seated within. They're perfectly designed to unfold exactly how nature intended. It's literally embedded in their psychological development from birth, the seed point. And it's their instinct to just naturally unfold exactly the way it's designed to, just like a flower. And so allowing that expression, and, you know, we can encourage by having a specific structure that it's going to be supportive of this unique, brilliant flower that just naturally is going to come out through any and all life forms, because it is an expression of the ultimate creator, or what we would see as ultimate creator or creation itself, right? But that, you know, as we experience, as we may experience the Saturnian, where people may be triggered by the rebelliousness of others, or, you know, oh, we got to contain that, we got to control that. Because Saturn is the part of our consciousness that wants to feel safe, wants to feel contained, you know, wants to control. But, you know, we gain wisdom by understanding. Wisdom is a Capricorn theme, wisdom is a Saturnian theme, where we gain wisdom when we recognize that control is always about within our own internal consciousness. You know, so in other words, you know, it's okay to control, but really we can only control ourselves. And if we are trying to control others' natural unfoldment, you know, it can bring in more rebelliousness. And so, you know, with the Aquarian theme, I think that there is going to be a lot of powerful themes around the self-actualization process of each individual, and also around this component where we need the compression, and it would be good to apply restriction or compression, but then it's also good to allow the freedom, the Uranian component, the allowing, you know, the freak flags to fly, you know, and just witnessing it. And because remembering that the Aquarius Leo axis of consciousness, it is this consciousness that in its shadow side can forget that other people are naturally designed to self-actualize as well. And that, you know, when we're in a healthy Leonian state, we naturally desire to allow others to shine in their unique brilliance, and that we also, you know, desire that for ourselves as well. And we want to be within the groups that allow us to shine. We want to be in the structures that are actually going to honor our own personal brilliance, no matter how unique, no matter how different. But the Pluto there is going to expose those themes where, you know, is my Leonian component in a place where I'm allowing other people to shine, even if I don't relate to it, you know, but yet I can actually recognize that, you know, maybe it's just a structure of consciousness that isn't really a place where I can fully shine or, you know, feel or that I resonate with, because remember, it's squaring Taurus and has to do with resonance and our own vibration and our own values and things like that. So that's part of, you know, recognizing with Pluto moving into Aquarius and that Saturn Uranian function is that we want to allow the integration of all of these components within ourselves and within others, and of course in this safe environment, you know, of course, because we still want the Saturn there. We still want that safe environment, as you were talking about. And also another piece I wanted to be sure to bring in with this is that remember that in the development of the psyche, after Leo comes Virgo. And Virgo is about this refinement of the ego that's been fully formed once we've developed up to this Leo consciousness. And so this is about the self-improvement, the refinement, the adjustments that need to be made so that we are being of service to the collective as a whole and not only to ourselves and our own personal reality and, you know, the way that we see reality, but that we're actually, you know, doing whatever adjustments that need to be made. And remembering that Virgo is and Aquarius are quincunx from each other, which is a Virgoan aspect. And so this will be, you know, as Pluto's in Aquarius, it's going to be forming a quincunx to our own Virgoan consciousness. What house is it in for you personally? Because this is where you can see an aspect of life where you may be needing to make adjustments in order to really navigate this very powerful and Plutonian aspect of Aquarius and Leo consciousness that's going to be so activated with Pluto and Aquarius.
That when you were talking there, I was thinking about, you know, like, and obviously Aquarius, the authentic self, you know, and that's, I remember somebody talking about when Pluto was in Leo, there was this whole uprise of this finding the child within. And I mean, since we've had the great conjunction with, and we've had Saturn in Aquarius already, we've already had a lot of Aquarian themes. There's already been a lot of talk of decentralizing and deconditioning. And I mean, authentic self's kind of been, we had the Neptune Uranus conjunction around the 1990-ish there that was in Capricorn, that whole generation is you know, it's be interesting to watch them because they're going to be coming of age. I mean, they're adults in the world, and that signature is really fascinating because it's like their souls are here to decondition and break down and liberate from all the social conditioning that doesn't resonate with who they are. And so this process of evolving into our authentic selves is definitely going to be accelerated with Pluto going into Aquarius. And it's going to be like different for everybody. So this is, we're kind of at the end of part one. And we've got a bunch more to talk about still. We have a whole bit on how does Pluto in Aquarius relate to your Pluto generation? That's one piece. We've got the Alise just got into the Virgo Aquarius relationship. And I've been saying, welcome to the age of Virguarius. And we're going to talk about what the heck am I talking about there? We're going to talk about that a little bit. And a lot more, you know, like I said, Pluto in Aquarius and its polarity evolution through Leo. And I must say, who are going to be the leaders of the revolution? What does that even mean? What will revolution look like? What will decentralization look like? There's a lot of topics we have yet to touch. And we hope you join us for part two. Again, this is Bradley Narragon, and with my friend and fellow astrologer, Alice Prigent. Thank you for being here, and thanks for listening.